This week marks the 20th anniversary of what's considered by many to be one of the most important political speeches in our history. Paul Keating's Redfern speech in 1992 recognised the impact of white settlement on Indigenous Australians, covering everything from dispossession of their lands to the stolen generation. The address is also credited with putting the issue of reconciliation on the political agenda and was really seen as the precursor to the formal apology which was eventually delivered to the stolen generations in 2007. So, how far have we come since then? Joining us in the breakfast studio this morning are two campaign directors with Recognise. That's the people's movement to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in our constitution. Tanya Hosh and Tim Gartrell. Tim Gartrell's also a former national secretary of the ALP. Welcome to breakfast.
Hi, friend.
Hi.
Tanya, what was the impact of Paul Keating's speech in 1992, because there were different reactions, I suppose, understandably, from the Indigenous community and some of white Australia?
Well, I think it was significant because I think it was the first time you had such a senior political leader basically just telling the truth about Australia's history and the way that it had direct impact on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians. I think that was the first time it was spoken about so directly and without sort of trying to create any spin or soften the truth. And I think when people hear the truth spoken about their own experience, you know, quite rightly, they respond positively to that because it's actually a relief to finally hear somebody acknowledge your experience.
And just to remind some people of some of the phrases there in terms of speaking the truth, Paul Keating said it was time to, quote, bring the dispossessed out of the shadows, and perhaps even more powerfully, the phrase which always stuck with me was, it was we who did the dispossessing. And that was very powerful words, I imagine, if you're a black Australian standing there at Redfern Park or beyond.
That's right, because I think to personalise and actually acknowledge that Australia is a beneficiary of that dispossession was very, very important. And I think what it also does is say that we've now got to move forward from here. And I always believe, and I think a number of Aboriginal people that I know talk about this as well, is that, you know, it's much easier to address what needs to be addressed when you've actually acknowledged what the truth of the situation is.
Which was the importance. It laid a foundation. Yes. And we'll come to the issue of moving forward and how far we've moved. But, Tim, just before we move away from the Redfern speech, Paul Keating's speech, some commentators have been writing that a speech like this will never be made again because no politician today would be brave enough or silly enough to confront the issues in that way. With your hat on, I suppose, a little of being a former national secretary of a political party, what do you see of the political implications or fallout of the speech? Because I think it was that kind of language, it was we who did the dispossessing, is what led to the phrases, for instance, like the Black Arm Van view of history. I mean, it led to that kind of sentiment as well.
Yeah, and it led to conflict at the time and subsequently. So it was a very brave speech, and great big political speeches can do that. But it did help set us down this path that we're moving towards now, where it laid the foundations for the reconciliation movement, the bridge walks, the apology, all those things that have come afterwards, you know, can be traced back to that sort of opening up of the debate.
How does it contrast with political leadership on these big Indigenous issues today and in the years since?
Well, we're fortunate with the project we're working on that we've got a high level of political consensus, and we've got the government now moving for this act of recognition, which has just been introduced to the Parliament. And there'll be a vote on that early next year. And all the signs are that we've got bipartisan consensus. So I know there's a lot of people concerned that there's not much bipartisan consensus at the moment. There's not a lot of political leadership, all this sort of stuff. But on this issue, now with this act of recognition coming in, we've got a really good focal point. And we've had Julia Gillard back that in strongly, and we've had Tony Abbott also backing that in. So on this issue of recognition, which is important for what we do next, we've actually got a bit of change going on.
Yeah, a bit of change, but not the change that was promised. We were promised that we would be working towards a referendum on Indigenous recognition of the Constitution at the next election. That's not going to happen. I mean, Tonya, going back to the Redfern speech, in the 20 years since, has anything really changed much? Have we been too slow? We're still talking about getting some recognition of the First Peoples in the Constitution. Still talking about that.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it that way, you know, it is amazing. But the other thing is that, you know, if you think about the success of the 67 referendum and how long people campaigned to get that change, you know, that was over 10 years that it took people to achieve that. So I guess that's what's exciting about the opportunity we have before us now. We actually have the political will, and we've got, you know, the expert panel process definitely showed that there's, you know, great support from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who still want to see this meaningful change take place. So the basics of this is that we basically need to jump in, go forward, and not squander the opportunity that's before us now.
And if I can just jump in there, yeah. We're actually a movement that's supporting a deferral of a referendum at the moment. So it might seem quite odd that we're here as campaigners for this referendum and we're supporting it being deferred. But the reason we're supporting it being deferred is with constitutional referendums, you've got to get all the ducks lined up. You've got to have popular support.
Let's face it, we have a poor record of change.
Well, we haven't changed the Constitution for 35 years.
And that's the point the Prime Minister was making yesterday when she was on the National Indigenous TV, the launch of that on Free to Air. Yeah. The Prime Minister said there needs to be a mood for change in order to have hope of this recognition, and to put it forward and have it go down would be heartbreaking.
Yeah, and you can get, you know, 60%, some referendums have got 60% of the Australian population and still lost because they haven't got up in a majority of states, because you've got to get that double majority to get constitutional change.
So the Prime Minister saying on television there needs to be a mood to change, is it her job to change the mood? Is she doing enough?
I think it's everyone's job. I think she's got a really, obviously the Prime Minister of the country has a pivotal role in this. So does the opposition leader, but so do ordinary Australians. You know, one of the reasons that the Republic referendum struggled is that the No case had actually gone and built quite a large grassroots movement. So it's not just about having the political leadership, the elite leadership, it's about having a grassroots campaign. And we've got already 120,000 people signed up to recognise through the Recognise website, and so we're focusing
that's
on
your
the political
job to build that groundswell.
Absolutely.
It's 24 minutes past 8 on Breakfast. Our guests this morning in the Breakfast studio are Tanya Hosch and Tim Gartrell from, as Tim just mentioned, the People's Movement Recognise, which is to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in our constitution. What is it that we need, in your view, to have recognised in the constitution? Because I always get a shock when I'm reminded that our constitution still contains a clause like section 25, which says the states could ban people of a race from voting. That's still in our constitution. Is your aim to get those sorts of phrases out, or clauses out, or to get something else into the constitution, Tanya?
Well, I mean, we've got at the moment the expert panel recommendations, and what's really clear from that is that the recognition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as the first Australians is important. But it's difficult to provide that recognition unless you're going to address some of these other issues around racial discrimination. So we're really interested in the process that's going to go forward in terms of the development of the model. And certainly Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people still need more time to consider the expert panel recommendations and put forward some further ideas about what they think is most critical. But definitely we want to see the recognition, but also there's things that need to flow from that. And to have a constitution that recognises on the one hand but still provides for racial discrimination on the other just doesn't make a lot of sense.
So, and forgive me, I can't bring to mind exactly the form of words of the recommendations of the expert panel, but what kind of sentiment was the expert panel suggesting or recommending that we insert into the constitution in terms of the words around recognition of the
recognition of custodianship, prior ownership, cultural connection, language, all those sort of things. One of the things I'd like to make, Fran, is that when our constitution was written, it was written by white men, and Aboriginal people were not only excluded, the predominant view in Australian white society was Aboriginal people wouldn't exist in 100 years. So there's an exclusion in history there that has to be dealt with.
And obviously something like Clause 25, which says states could ban people of a race from voting, is offensive today. I mean, no Australian
And it has been used from time to time, so it's not entirely redundant provision. It's been used as late as the 1960s to ban groups of people from voting.
There is another recommendation of inserting a new section that comes from the expert panel, recognising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander languages were this country's first tongues, while confirming English is Australia's national language. Why does language need to be recognised in the Constitution?
Well, it's an important part of culture, and I guess one of the things that is clear from the work that's been done here is that the uniqueness of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people is really important to Australia as a whole, and language is a really important part of that as well. And we're definitely in a situation where the number of languages still active have diminished, and it's one of those things that needs to be acknowledged and be protected.
Tanya, you and Tim are campaign directors with Recognise. So as Tim's mentioned, you're launching a campaign to try and get a people's movement around Change the Constitution. What's your message now to everybody listening? What's your message in terms of what Recognise needs to do and what the Australian people need to do?
We've got an opportunity to change a constitution, to update it and have it reflect our current values as Australians as a whole, and that recognising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as the first Australians is a critical part of doing that. And what it will enable us to do, I think, is to set the foundation for improving our relationships going forward, and thereby improving the standing and status of Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders in their everyday lives.
And I think there's a really positive message here, which is let's acknowledge and celebrate the unique contribution of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, not just prior to European arrival, but since European arrival. It's one of the things that makes Australia unique. It is probably the most unique thing we've got in the country, our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, as well as our unique land and where we're located in the world. So let's acknowledge and celebrate that. Let's make this a positive moment for the country.
Tim Gartrell, Tanya Hosh, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Thanks.
Tim Gartrell and Tanya Hosh are campaign directors with Recognise. It's a people's movement to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in our constitution.